informative immediately. So imagine you can do audio recording.
Qualified setup. talks about additional findings of each one. Findings in the HIV predetermined objectives. Let me put that in easier language for all of us, because it's a pretty new term. It is about the performance reporting of the board, because they actually get around to doing their mandate. They set out a time of budget to achieve certain things, and it's the reporting that they do at the end of the year, and how that is all they achieve on that or not. The second line item, right at the bottom of the slide, deals with how well they comply with rules and regulations. I think that's an issue that came up a couple of times during the presentation this morning. I think really the big thing that would be worrying in this slide is that if you just look between the 2 years, is the fact that things have been pretty stagnant. It's not like there's been a big improvement, but then I suppose on the other side, at least it's not so bad. So it's pretty consistent. The next slide, maybe I should take away, there's a far more visual slide to this. It talks about the disciplines of all the underlying things to do financial management. And on the context of this discussion here today, in other words, the basic can potentially prevent corruption from taking place. It sits at 3 levels. You'll see it on slide, I think it's over your shoulder, slide, pages 4, 5, and 6. Page 4 deals with leadership. Page 5 deals with issues around financial and performance management. And the last one deals with governance issues. And this is what I said right at the start. This deals with the very basic things that we believe should be in place to prevent corruption. So if you look at just that page 4, we've got the heading of leadership. You see the things that we've listed there on top. It's by no means rocket science. It talks about provision of adequately staffed resources. It talks about taking proper action to address audit findings. Talks about putting in place basic action plans to sort out your IT environment. Now, the reason why I wanted to skip away from what you've got in the slides there, that somehow doesn't work that well, is to go to one of the lectures that I've also provided to the secretary, but just show it to you in a visual format. If you look at what's sitting there, green being the good news, in other words, people that've got good practices when it gets to these basic leadership issues, versus the red, people that still face challenges. In other words, they must pull up the game. I literally run you down. You can see the red is still the prevalent part. And I think from our point of view, that's the core of our concern. We're talking about wonderful detective arrangements in government. We're talking about wonderful reports that need to be action. But that may put us into reactive mode. The ideal is that we get to a situation where departments and entities actually are ready to be safe. And that you never get to the point of having to report on these issues. And so I think that is pretty important, especially with the challenge that we've put for this committee going forward, where you talk about a more cross-cutting intervention dealing with other departments, to actually get to the core of why are the basic disciplines, special financial disciplines in place. Because that's really the answer to a long-term solution around addressing the corruption. I'm not going to bore the committee with going through slide after slide, showing the red and the green. Trust me, you can probably see the statistics in front of you. You can see that the red always just about outweighs the green. It talks about basic discipline. So, let me just get that back on the screen for you. I want to move on then to what would be page 7, I think, on your documentation. It talks about the areas that got qualified. Now, again, translated into what we're talking about today is the areas that may be under pressure for corruption. You'll see that when we talk about departments, there's quite a lot of areas, quite a lot of entities that got qualified on capital assets. You mean one or two things. A large chunk of that is due to the fact that governments only recently started accounting for assets in their financial plan and adding a value to that. So yes, by all means, a lot of what sits in that 54% is probably due to that. Unfortunately, it also highlights an area that's susceptible to corruption, to fraud. Assets are the things that disappear from the departments. And that's the thing that impacts on our ability to get to our service delivery objectives. So probably in there you can see that generally speaking, departments have settled over the last couple of years. We've managed down in the area, also in somewhere between 9 and 50%. But the 64% is something like assets, capital assets, those things that give us the ability to deliver, that's a concern. That's probably the area where it's most prone to corruption as well. There is a similar slide for public entities, but perhaps it's not as acute as we've seen for the parties. These two slides spoke about the things that we picked up that's wrong, and at the stage of the annual report being finalized, that's the things that still within the financial statement. There's a part that's not as visible if any committee of parliament would be looking at financial statements. And that's the amount of work that had to go into those financial statements to get them to the point of us reporting. And I think, again, from the point of view of dealing with corruption, we need to understand that. I'll show you this next slide that shows you the amount of work that had to go into cleaning up before we could report at departments. That's quite extensive. If we had to look at 72% of all national departments where we had to do adjustments before we had our finalization, I'm talking about big adjustments. That's bad news. First of all, a reflection that the basic systems and the basic controls that had to be in place during this period was not in place. So fairly uncontrolled. We get to the audit process, we get to the process of drafting our financial statements, we suddenly need to scramble to sort out things. Uncontrolled for 12 months, for 2 or 3 months while the auditors are there, we're scrambling to try to clean up. That's certainly not good news, and it's not an environment that's conducive for well-run affairs, open for corruption. It sits in two fairly big areas. The other disclosure items in departmental language that deals with commitments. I will get you a good sense of whether you understand what it is that you committed for in future days. Again, it's far too close for comfort to supply chain management. Supply chain is where you deal with suppliers and where you owe money. So in that area, that's pretty worrying. I think another one that you would want to have a look at is towards the right, not the total column, but the one that talks about adjustments that had to be made on unauthorized, irregular, and persistent school expenditure. You'll see later on in this slide, there's a specific slide that deals with the extent of unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, perhaps irregular expenditure, especially where we want to focus. Ideally, we don't want to see any figures in there. But I suppose second prize is where departments or agencies actually play open cards around that. But unfortunately, quite a large chunk is, again, issues that we only detect in the audit process. So, good 12, 15 months down the line from the transaction actually being incurred, we find out that there's actually been fraud in terms of the basic appearance of supply chain management process. So that's probably the bad news that sits behind this slide. Public entities, now remember, when I talked about qualification areas, it didn't look so bad. I think it's the work that public entities had to invest to get to a stage where we've got auditable and reportable financial statements. Again, it talks about a fairly uncontrolled environment throughout the period, and only things being cleaned up. That does create that environment, that possibility for corruption. Let me move on to another area. If you go to page 11 of what you've got in front of you, let's start now moving slightly out of the financial area. Let's move into another very important area. When any department, when any entity reports, they do so at two levels. They give us their financial statements, or they within budget, the judge. Overspend, underspend. But in the second report, that deals with the performance. It says, well, at the time of asking for a budget, I promise that I will do X, Y, and Z. This is how well I've done. You actually got to read the two together. Probably on dangerous ground if I say it, but if I've got an over expenditure, but at least I can show something for it, probably not such a big crime. The problem is if you've got over expenditure, but your performance report indicates that you've got nothing to show for it. Now, it's this performance reporting that we're talking about on this slide. It's an area where the Public Audit Act requires us to finally get to a stage where we can give a full-blown audit opinion. In other words, talk about qualified, unqualified disclaimer, but in the context of performance. At the moment, we're not there. We're doing all the work as though we would be expressing an opinion, but we've kept that level of finance, purely because I don't think many of the departments has reached a point where everything is stabilized with an ideal environment for it. But the stats are still pretty bad. If I can take you to the fourth line in the green, it really talks about information submitted around performance information, whether we were provided with any information around the performance. This is 3% of departments that's actually not even adhering to that basis. they're not too worried about it. They don't want to subject it to audit. That's pretty bad news.
Mm.
You then go to the first line, non-compliance regulatory requirements. 56% of departments that's not playing the game in terms of what the legislation asks them to do when it gets to performance reporting. This may be not submitting strategic plans on time. It may be, especially in the last 3 years, I think it was pretty important. It's probably the municipalities are coming up very soon, again important. If you've got a change over it, you've got movement, and there's a realignment of priorities, which is fine. That's what government should be doing. But that happens within a control process. Lots of times you find that some of these basics, some of these approval steps, some of the admin around these things reporting is not as good as you. Department 56% of them, 22% of them is probably getting. The middle two is also pretty critical because this talks about whether we can actually use it. It's wonderful to open a set of annual reports and find the performance report in there, and it's whether it tells you something. Reported information useful? Well, we've had 53 departments in our view, but that was really not useful. What is being useful to talk about? It means that those reports adhere to the basic principles of good reporting. Is it specific? Is it measurable? Can I touch it? There's a difference between saying, I will improve the life of Kavesh. Whatever I do, I'm probably going to be successful. I say, if I improve Kavesh's life to the point of him earning a salary of X, Y, Z, then I can measure it. So whether you make a vague, although impressive statement, or whether you make a statement that is actually quantifiable. The other line is that the report information not reliable. You know that us as auditors, we can only function if we can find documentation or proof for what happened. Lots of instances, there's a statement being made, we've achieved X, Y, Z, but we can't find the substance. At a very basic level, we always say in the training to our staff, if we talk about the Department of Housing, that's it, we can build 100 houses. It would be great if we can go up and touch 100 good quality houses. If we can't, that's a reflection that we add in that third line. Not reliable. We can't find the substance to that information. Again, in the context of what we're dealing with today, it means that when it gets to reporting around issues, reporting on how well we spend the money that's allocated in the budget, we are not able to really do a good job of it. If we can't account for where our money is utilized, that missing portion is the area of open for corruption. There's a couple of other areas that I also want to run through, and again, it's the same message. If you look at compliance with laws and regulations, there's a couple of key statistics on the board. It's not all the non-compliance issues, it's just the top couple. The very first one under department is pretty scary already. Supply chain management issues that lead to irregular expenditure. In other words, they can disregard for the basics of supply chain management. We're not talking about intrinsic, difficult, complex schemes. We're talking about the basics of not getting tenders, not following the process, pushing all your processes through emergency processes rather than the normal, and we simply have to talk about the policies that have problems there. Just to give you a sense of the other areas in compliance, that again, it creates a picture around the environment within which we spend money in government. There's a couple of high ones there. General fiduciary responsibility. I think somebody asked earlier on today, what is really that the government office should be held accountable for? Well, we see, just at a very basic level, 18% of the basics that should be done in terms of the PFMA, not in the DFMA. HR management, you'll see there's a slide that on 32% of stock problems. The vehicle one, probably, payments within 30 days, 44%. Specification in the Public Finance Management Act. I know our Auditor General is at the point it says in a session of cabinet, I think, that's something that we need to explore again. I think it's finding a good balance between paying quick enough, but paying once you've adhered to all the checks and balances of you actually received the service. No use to have a good reflection there, but you've not received any. But that's one area for clearing visibility. You can also see under public entities lower down some of the mechanisms that the legislation creates. Things like internal audit and audit committees, not necessarily done with that. Although this is still a good percentage compared to some of our provinces, we are very close to monitors in some way. But uncompliance with laws and regulations, not a pretty picture. Again, it says there's much room for corruption. It's especially when you get to supply chain management, that's the thing that's really worrying. Page 30 gives you a sense of those procurement and contract management issues resulting in irregular expenditure. Now, I'm going to clarify a point. I think it's something, especially if we had CFOs in the room, that they would be pretty upset about. And we'll tell you very quickly that if I report something as irregular expenditure, I have adhered to the rules of the game. It's true, to some degree. It doesn't take away the fact that the reporting of irregular expenditure is admission to the fact that something's gone wrong. All that you can safely claim is that you played up and called about. It means that if I go out right now and I go steal a car, it's still safe. I'm still going to end up in jail for it. Maybe the judge would be kind if I actually admit to it up front. But it would be a regular expenditure actually. So I think, yes, by all means, we disclose it, we play up and pause around it, we explain the circumstances, we show whether we're taking action around that, but it's still a bad reflection before it happens. You can see some of the things that's on there. Like I said to you earlier on, we're not talking about complex schemes or anything. Talk about three price quotations, not in place. Preference points do not apply. Competitors, willing deviation is not justified. These are basic prerequisites of my supply chain management process. Let's take it one step further and give you that slide. And I think there was a question in a couple of the presentations this morning around interest and supply. And again, you can see it. There's still high numbers, not nearly as high as reported in other quarters. This is a minor portion of probably what we do. Again, interest and supply has run pretty well. I think in this morning's presentation from the Service Commission, there was a point made around education and health that's creating a big issue for us. I've unfortunately not got the provincial slides here, but I can make that available to you. It actually paints a very dismal picture. If you go to any province, you probably sit with somewhere between 76 and 80% of the expenditure in that province being education and health. If you go to this type of slide where we look at supply chain management issues and you look at interest in suppliers, you'll probably find that about 80% of the culprit is in that education now. It really means that, quite frankly, whoever's out there dealing with these corrupt activities, making a clean sweep in education now, a lot of the money is not reaching the intended purpose. As stated earlier on this morning around education now, certainly valid. Certainly confirm in whatever angle you want to take in the audit process. Get that through that slide I promised earlier on. This is page 15 of your page. We talked about the extent of irregular expenditure and unauthorized expenditure. Luckily, when you talk about unauthorized expenditure at the departmental level, just one area, I think the area that this committee would be interested in is irregular expenditure. That's the big role from there. And it's just the department and entities, gives you a total picture. You talk about 4 billion rands of irregular expenditure. In other words, money spent with some of the basic adherence to laws, rules, with fraud. That's quite a bit. Should put it in context, there's about a 1 billion rand in there that relates to a very specific circumstance in defense. But let's take that away. We talk about 4 billion. Take it down to 3 billion, that's related to most of the supply chain partners. It tells you the extent of not adherence to basic rules and regulations. The other part that's inherent in here, if we want to say that it's good news that departments and entities play up and talk about it, I'll say that again. If we want to say that they're good because they acknowledge to it, that's represented by the blue block. The green block is what we've found in addition. Let's work on the table and we take it boldly. Move on to a couple of other areas, and perhaps let me just step back again and we'll reinforce the point around why we see this committee as so important, as important moving forward, and why we are so keen to work hand in hand with GPSA as a key partner in moving certain issues forward. Our Auditor General always talks about the tools of the trade. Human resources, supply chain management, and IT. That's all somewhere along the line that gets back to GPSA. If we now look at just 3 quick slides that you have already had the supply chain issue, there's a general view of human resource management across the board at national departments. No human resource plan, 38%. So it means haphazard handling of HR matters. Let's go down to vacancies. Senior management vacancies more than 12 months, 32%. Positions in finance more than 12, 36%. It's asking for a problem. Not an environment that's solid enough. I can go through to the IT systems. I think it's a slide that we've stepped away from a couple of years before. We wanted to make sure that the substance of what we do is really solid, to the point where we believe that we can share this with a lot of companies. Let me put it in context, because you see huge numbers on it. The slide does not talk about the nitty-gritties with the system. It doesn't talk about those mechanized controls. This just talks about the environment that we create around our computers. It doesn't even go to the inside. The first two talks about whether we've got proper access control. Can anybody get into a system, again in terms of corruption, and they therefore manipulate? We sit with 85 and 93% respectively as problem areas in the policies. We go later on just basics around recovery, disaster recovery. Should we lose a record somewhere? Let's think about the worst case possible. Let's think about unrepair. If a system is crashed there, is there a good disaster recovery plan? Well, our reflection is that an 85% problem. That's also not good. Again, it's not a pretty picture when we talk about how well controlled IT systems are. Perhaps in the interest of climate change, there's a similar picture when we talk about some of the big corporates, the likes of Exxon, Trump, and etc. I can give you the same picture. I think the principles that's underlying this, though, is the thing that we really need to look at. And if we look at it specifically from the context of the committee on DPSA and all the entities that sit around that, it is really getting to the core of what it is that we can do to address these two little trends. Setting things around supply chain management, setting things around IT, HR, and performance indicators. And then also taking a step back, and again, here I'm so grateful that you talked about that transversal role of this committee. When we talk about the policy, remember those colorful initiatives that set up, like those red and green. Also just remember to ask the question about why are we not seeing very basic discipline, like a recall, action in a reconciliation, asking for a monthly report, why we don't see that in place. Is that really the typical of corruption? Jay, that's very briefly the stats that we can bring to the table to give you a feel of what the state of the nation when it gets to the potential for corruption. I hope that in the months going forward we can talk more about what is the action that you can think to take around that. That's a very large comment from our side. What we're trying to do with DGs, with the executives, and with the partners, to make sure that we don't just arrive there once a year. After the year is run, after the financials being produced and audited, we try and get out there at least 4 times a year now. So what we go with is that connection that's got the red and the green. We really make sure that we can sit down with the executives and face them. If we need to take a very quick health check, that's where we are. You're on the right track, you've still got the majority in green, you can see some movement in that direction. Talk to warn early, even 3 months down the line, that we've seen a lot of red, the uncontrolled environment in the air control. So from our point of view, that quarterly interaction is starting to become more and more important. And it's something that I would imagine we can start sharing with this committee on a fairly regular basis as well. You want a health check, a regular update of the type of state as you move forward, as you deal with specific areas within the government, that's something that we can try and provide for you as well. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much for that detailed presentation. Okay, that's mainly myself, but of course, we did agree that we're going to work with the public service commission together with the police agenda in order to get a number of other areas correct. But also considering that we're inviting now on this anti corruption unit. And therefore, there is a compliance and new name. That's where we have to move. And therefore, from this presentation, we even realize that not even the issue for this committee. We definitely have to sort of make a program on the issue that has been raised. Honourable members, I Honourable Dreyer, followed by Honourable Mugani, then Honourable Williams, Honourable Mithima, and the last.
Okay? Thank you, Madam. Yes, I just want to thank you very much. Office and the other people who are responsible for the issue of copies that we got from the report, not in color, it makes it very difficult to understand why your beautiful color there is actually just clarified. The light copy is our whole issue. And whether it's possible that we can have color copies of your report. The color here is
okay. Yes, I understand. Yes, to understand the graph and the color. Okay, another defense?
Sometimes we feel we go to that.
Yeah.
said, we definitely appreciate that now we're moving into issues of performance. I know it was our major worry, and we're, you know, trying to figure out how to look into the performance. You know, what part of the outcomes we really have to measure performance, you know, rather than just, you know, having artificial measures. If I get into the content of issues, and also in relation to what honorable members are in, you know, the cross-cutting factor cannot be avoided. And if we get this right from a coordination point of view, the rest might follow, which therefore means that we need to really work on it other plan in terms of dealing with it. Otherwise, we're only pushing the suffering to the problem. Can I allow you to respond?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. I should probably first start off by saying thank you for your gratitude. It's good to know that the right information gets surfaced. It's also, if you allow me a moment, it's very comforting just moving into a very big international congress that's happening in about 2 weeks' time here in South Africa, of all international auditors general, where one of the themes is consistency and clarity of reporting. You know that we've got an example that at least works for our own system. From that point of view, I do appreciate those comments. I think a lot of the members ask for the availability of this and availability in color. It's available electronically with the annexures. There was a comment around where we can have the names that back it up. There is schedules that actually got that in the fact. Maybe just to make 100% sure, let me resend the committee secretary as well, both the national and the provincial, that we can make available. You'll also find that this is the basic substance of what would be an auditor's general's general report or outcome report. Tabled around about the end of November, beginning of December, when you get the formalized version of it. I'm more than happy to share the supplies, the back of the lectures, and then the schedules of that just makes the process so much more constructive. Have we done enough? I agree, it's not necessarily a pretty picture, but I think we've also got to give credit in some areas. Lots of these areas, we've seen big improvements. If you think, for example, about that slide where we talk about financial qualification. In fact, if you sit with the relatively low areas throughout the sector for capital assets, probably due to the fact that National Treasury has done a spectacular job in terms of upping the game on their guidance. There's big credit due to them for setting the matters on there. We have also seen on capital assets drop significantly. The direct reflection on the ministerial committee that was in action last year, and it started pushing that really, really hard. Capital assets, now remember that takes into account land and buildings, etc. We've got the legacy of our old TVDC states, etc., where there's still a lot of work to be done. I think it's a 3-4 year process that government committed to. That's something actually that's still on track and it is moving in the right direction. So yes, by all means, it's a gloomy picture, but remember that there's the good news in there as well. I think I'm very happy around the comments made on slide 11 on the performance information. In fact, it would actually move everything slightly backwards. In the last year. Entirely correct. I think it's one area that is of concern. It's an area where National Treasury started putting in place the basic building blocks for performance reporting as long as 5 years ago. And one would have hoped, our expectation was certainly that after 5 years we'd be in a position to actually express a full-blown opinion. We're not convinced that the system's mature, the process is mature to that point of view. And we're as concerned that slight indication that there's been a movement backwards. What we've done from our side is to also ask our performance audit of the spot on the specialized view to actually do a specific audit across the board on the readiness of government for performance reporting. To really surface what's the reason for us not making progress and for this slight movement backwards. The systems reflection, the guidance, training, the just lack of will, get to the bottom of that. That's something that's unfortunately only going to play out next year. I would imagine around about this time next year we would have a good reflection of that. In the meantime, it doesn't take away the fact that we should be asking questions around how these things go forward. One of the members asked around non-compliance and how we get responses from departments and from entities, so that's all our audit needs. I think we get good arguments sometimes. I don't think that would argue any different from some of the stuff that we had at the back. They talk about the fact that they couldn't fill positions, that they had other entities that need to enable them on doing their bit. That's probably maybe valid. But maybe my most honest answer would be the paper is this in the implementation phase. That's unfortunately true. We said over and over again, I think it's the saddest example in that regard is the areas where we've committed time and time again on turnaround plans, just on the financial side of education and health. There's nothing wrong with the plan that's been put in place. That is whether we can stick to it. That's the big area. I think that's the question that one needs to ask. Lots of instances, I think this committee will be placed when you start delving deeper into the issues around corruption. You find the answer in theory is correct. The people know what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. The question of understanding why is not. That's the crux of my mind.
In the previous presentation by the Private Service Commissioner, I asked a question maybe because of the political load of the company, certainly with this reflection, for example, which is 100% compliance with the anything of something that becomes human. But let's move away from that and keep it on for a second. This is a natural department on page 11 slide. You see, there's a frighteningly high number of departments that, you know, the information not useful or certainly not reliable and some don't even have to do it at all. But there's a small thing of departments who actually did supply their information on date and the information is useful and it is reliable. Very small, but they are there. Now maybe we should look at them and say, okay, they are doing something right. They are getting it right. It's not impossible. What do they do to get it right that the others don't do, so that we can learn from their examples? So let's identify the successful ingredients. And this is now a national department to reach and understand.
If I can have a quick response on that. I'm not going to say that I've got the full-blown answer to that, and I think we need to keep on asking that very question. For us, what you've seen again on, on this red and green slide, that's the result of the last 4 years saying, what's the question that we really should be asking? What's the core of, remember we take a couple of the financial angle on it, mm-hmm. But for us that's the core of, if you can fix these basics, you should be in business. If you talk about the entities that you've got gain sorted out really well, whether you pick any provinces, whether you pick the trend that we're starting to see in the Western Cape around their outcomes, around some of their reporting, and a lot of that is basic discipline. And that's what these three energies talk about. I grant you that it is our view as auditors on the things that we think will improve financial management. It's probably not the core of from the broader service delivery issues as well. But I think that's a wonderful suggestion. It's something that in the interaction going forward, maybe we can add to this, maybe we can refine on this. But that's really the core question that we believe should end up on.
Thank you. So just to reiterate what my colleague has said, what Daniel has just spoken about, I think one of the key things here is whenever we engage with a lot of the entities around these non-compliance issues or the weaknesses that exist, they focus specifically on that. Now, the trick is not to focus specifically on that, but to focus on the control environment that resides within the entity. So we say, for example, you have not submitted these documents. The next day you get 100 submissions of those documents, but you have some other area that you lack. Okay, because all he did was say, focus on the non-submission of the documents. Mm-hmm. Now we pick that up in a trend also on the reporting lines that we have. Which we say, these are the five issues that are not 100% correct in your entity. They put an action plan in place, the action plan is just those five areas. Now we're not talking about it. We're talking about the control environment within the entity. And that's what we need to start tackling, is how do they start addressing the control environment or the controls, the system that they utilize to report on those controls, and very importantly, as the AG will say, the tone that we set at the top. Right, so how does the leadership of the entity actually start rolling this system? That Jan is also focused on. Because what is currently happening is there's a narrow tunnel vision focus just on the five issues that have been reported on, and next day you get five issues and a new issue, not repeating issues, but not the environment that they actually operate in.
Yeah, well,
we say
it would be good to comment that also, perhaps from the side of the auditor general, the requirement that is consistent in terms of compliance. But also it means that these issues, you know, like we correctly planned, with Capitalist Commission with yourself and with the committee and the DPSD, I'm sure once we come back again on this session of planning, we need to also move pair areas so that we clean up all the areas. You know, what they can focus on, so when we say human resource, then we focus on it. But that's the kind of oversight that we want to do, which is meaningful, that can make a difference. And therefore, I'm sure moving forward, we do need to work together. And we appreciate that you show that you will be available, and that's exactly what you really need. We are already twin brothers and sisters with the Public Service Commission. It really helps. So we are definitely going to use yourself in terms of doing our work.
You wanted to follow up on something? I'm just interested in knowing the general process. How many men are there? How many females are there? I don't think they are.
I think the Jimmy officials, all the women are.
Which was led to establishing those who need to affect the anti-corruption issue. opportunity to start to deal with those issues tonight. And we are collaborating on those work of government on anti-corruption. We really want to sort of you to strengthen that area. It's an area that we're looking forward to ensure that we're going to deal with corruption. Parliament will continuously deal with the anti-corruption program. It's going to be huge. It's going to be an issue. It's going to, you know, we'll talk about it over and over until all other people are irritated, but it's a matter of concern. We need to deal with corruption. And then at the end, we want to thank the Auditor General for all the information that came out, but it actually shows that we are challenged. There is a lot of work, you know, it's scary. You know, we have a lot of work. We do want that information work in order to improve the public space. You know, and we really need that kind of information. And what I need to do at the end is just outline what is remaining on our program, as we normally do. After today, the next committee meeting, that is next week, it will never be a joint committee anymore, because higher education and training minister will not be available. But it will be the Minister for Public Safety and Administration on the human resource plan and human resource strategy of the public service. It's a matter of concern. It came out from the auditor as well. So speak it out. So measure as it is, we're definitely going to embark on that, and we're going to look into issues also of inconsistency in terms of, you know, what once they become consistent as public service at this area, it can assist the rest of other departments as well. It will be followed by the anti-corruption meeting again, which is a meeting with all the committees of parliament as it's arranged, particularly those that fall in governance cluster, you know, the cluster that, you know, like COPTA, Auditor General, SCOPA, etc. Those will definitely be there, but there will be others that join as well. I'm not very sure, but it is coordinated in all the committees' form of work on the 17th. And it's just a part of setting with this thing that is going to be in the future of anti-corruption from the side of Parliament. And then on the 23rd, we are starting with, we'll get a briefing by the Minister of Public Service and Administration on the Public Service Management Bill. As we know that there was some activities in the past Parliament moving in, moving out of the bill, but now we'll be getting a proper version of what is it that is coming our way, how are we going to proceed in terms of the public administration management field. Okay, it's written a little that's it. The 24th, like it was actually explained by the minister when he was making his input, that there's a launch of the anti-corruption unit. It therefore means it does concern us as committee members on the 24th, and therefore the anti-corruption would be outlined by the department in terms of the nitty-gritties, but it's part of the program that we're very much interested in from the side of the department. I must indicate that there's also an issue about the 19th of November, which is not on our program just yet, and it will be outlined by Parliament. On the 19th of November, we've got the African Peer Review Mechanism at cluster meetings in all other provinces. So a committee in the various clusters. It will be social cluster, economic cluster, government cluster. They will be moving in various, it will be four sittings in various provinces, except the state, because in the state, the NCOP is already sitting there. So part of it should be part of doing our feedback in terms of the African Peer Review Mechanism reporting as a country. So that we're also having that feel and touch with the people of getting down there, so that the report has that touch, it's not written from purpose, as we know how it works. Basically, that's the summary of where we are up till to the last day, and when Parliament is going to go to recess, we'll be going to recess on Parliament later. And then I would really want to thank you for this meeting, and we want to believe in future. You know, this is a sign that shows our Parliament is really small, you know, and it's got a lot of work. It needs to be expanded in one way or the other. This is a motivation that Parliament must be bigger, and we will actually do a submission as such, because we can't watch like this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.